Hey everyone, this is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology, and today we are going to take a look at the astrology of July. So as you guys know, what I like to do in these monthly overviews is give you a rundown of all of the major transits of the month, or sort of look at our, what I should say is look at all of the transits of the month, and then sort of talk about those that I think are the most important, which are the ones you're going to see me actually make videos about as the month goes on. So this is kind of like a big picture overview. I don't go too in depth into each individual transit. I just try to hit the highlights, show you where everything's going for the month ahead. And then you can also get a sense of what kinds of content is coming in the month of July as well. I think it helps to do these overviews, but honestly, the real takeaway is usually when we start moving through the month and breaking those aspects down in a video, sometimes two videos. So that's, of course, what we'll be doing. Horoscopes for sun and rising signs with a few major transits for July will be out tomorrow or Monday. I'm not sure yet, but probably I'm trying to get there by tomorrow so that you have it before the month actually starts. But it's just a really busy holiday weekend, so I'm trying to figure things out. But anyway, we'll have those soon. So don't forget, before we dive in today, to like and subscribe, share your comments in the comment section. That helps other people who like astrology to find this channel. If you enjoy this channel, you want it to grow, that really helps. Transcripts of my daily talks can always be found on my website, nightlightastrology.com. If you visit nightlightastrology.com, you can check out all of my readings and courses. If you have any questions about any of my readings or courses, you can email info@nightlightastrology.com. If you ever have a story to share about any of the transits, use the hashtag grabbed and leave your story in the comments, or email us grabbed@nightlightastrology.com. And we can talk about the way in which the planets sort of sees our consciousness from time to time, sometimes really hilariously, sometimes poignantly, or, you know, with sometimes it's difficult. So we like to share those stories once in a while in special episodes. So I appreciate that. And let's go ahead and dive in. There are a boatload of transits in the month of July, just a ton of them. So we're going to start with July 1st and work our way through. I'm going to use the real-time clock to walk us through these aspects. So the big one, probably the biggest transit of the month, is happening right away, July 1st, and it involves Mars squaring Pluto. You can see that right there. Very explosive transit. We did several videos on this transit, one that included some herbs you could actually work with this weekend, some teas you could make to try and work with or pacify the energy of this transit. This transit tends to be very volatile, confrontational, will versus will. And also it is a transit that often will energize and create a lot of impactful action, and kind of has that get things done feeling behind it, but can be very willful and overpowering, even domineering, very volatile when it comes to potentially getting into fights or becoming reactive. So we want to be very careful about that energy. That starts the month off tomorrow. So that's your big Friday transit. And this is one of the reasons why I'm like thinking, well, should I do horoscopes on Friday or Monday, is also because I'm thinking, you know, we might want to do one more video devoted to that. And maybe I'll end up doing a live cast too. I don't know. I just don't know. So moving on, July 2nd, there's a lot of small transits this month that are fast moving, but, potentially a lot of trines and sextiles that are interesting. Try to point some of those out. So you can see Mercury in Gemini on, I'll just advance this by one day. And you can see Mercury in Gemini on the 2nd of July, moving through a trine with Saturn. This is a nice energy for, it's good mental, intellectual, communicative energy. It's good for trying to fix something, solve a problem, see the big picture, think rationally, be objective. Could be a little bit of the cold, dry, hard side intellectually, or sort of almost like an overly analytical kind of potentially quality with this transit. But that comes in really quickly. The other thing that's interesting, given that what's also happening on July 2nd, at the same exact time, Mercury is also squaring Neptune, which is like anything but. I mean, Mercury square Neptune to me is about, let's lose reason a little bit. You know, let's let's think through the lens of Neptune. Mystical, imaginative, romantic, subtle, and sensitive. So it's an interesting transit right away at the beginning of July, where there's this almost like a mystical mindset paired with like the kind of analytical, rational support of Saturn in an air sign. So I feel like this could be, you know, a way of pairing the left brain and right brain, or the masculine, feminine ways of thinking or reasoning or making decisions, yin and yang, so to speak. So I like that pairing. I think it's an interesting one to be happening at the same time on July 2nd. Move forward a little bit. Mars enters Taurus on July 5th. You can see, here we go. Here's Mars entering the sign of Taurus. This is Venus's sign, so Mars is now in its exile. Mars is a little bit now like the bull in the china shop. There could be, you know, a feeling of trying to move toward stability or solidifying things, controlling things, maintaining or sustaining things, getting things done. It's very productive. My grandfather had Mars in Taurus and loved to, he had tons of projects he was always doing on the land. He owned about 85 acres or something. And he had a Christmas tree farm and an apple orchard, and he kept bees. And he could never stop. Everything he did was so lovely, but he's also like a, you know, like a freight train that just couldn't stop going. So, you know, a little bit of that edge with Mars entering Taurus, to watch for, but also, you know, the kind of earthy, productive vibe. It's going to get real interesting at the end of July and beginning of August when Mars conjoins Uranus, but that'll really almost figure into my August forecast more. We'll be talking about it at the end of the month. On July 5th, Mercury enters Cancer and will also be sextiling Mars. I think that's really interesting. At the same time, you do get a Mercury-Mars sextile. It's of the nature of Venus, so you're harmonizing the mind and the will with a lot of like feminine, more intuitive, emotional, earthy energy. I like that pairing there around the 5th as a nice supportive transit early in the month. Mercury is doing some interesting things like the first, you know, 6-7 days of July. It'll be interesting to watch and talk about. On July 10th, the sun in Cancer will, let's move this forward a little bit. So the sun in Cancer will sextile. Wait, did I mess that up? Hold on. Let me just, I'm looking at my, so I wrote down Mars in Taurus. That needs to be Uranus in Taurus. Let me actually fix that. So that should be Uranus. Sorry, that's a typo. All right. There we go. So, and let me draw the aspect again so you can see it. Here's the sun in Cancer, and it'll be sextiling Uranus in Taurus. I like the sun Uranus sextile feels progressive, liberating. It feels like advancement or good news. It has that feeling of breaking something open and pouring light in and giving reason for hope or inspiration or new ideas or fresh light and exciting. Exciting transit when you pair them together in a Venusian sextile. You know, I think transit can be a little idealistic. So I would be careful of thinking that there is more room for growth than there is, which is not to say there will be no room for growth, but sometimes I think the sun and Uranus can overestimate how much growth is possible or how well something will do or how successful it will be. So just being a little bit, you know, keeping in mind that the zeal of the transit can sort of take us for a ride. July 13th, Venus in Gemini will trine Saturn in Aquarius. Let's advance this a few days here. You're going to see Venus in Gemini now trining Saturn, both in air signs. I like that they're connected through a trine, because if Saturn is going to clip Venus's wings at all, it's in the superior position. At least the trine suggests that whatever Saturn is impressing upon Venus at this time, that something positive can come out of it, or there can be a silver lining. I think of this as Venus perhaps getting checked by some kind of rule, or some, you know, almost like a this is something I want or something I desire, but Saturn's providing me with some kind of rational sensibility about why I should, you know, maybe pull it back a little bit, or, you know, almost like manage your expectations or something. Venus Saturn trines can also be about mature developments for Venus. Like Venus, for example, you know, Venus Saturn is that step you take in a romantic relationship, where you get a little wiser, or your relationship grows somehow. So it's, you know, aging Venus with, you know, and making it more beautiful because of time and experience, and, you know, being tested and so forth. So it's not a totally easy aspect, but I think ultimately it's, you can look at it very beneficially because it's a trine. On the 13th, there's also a full moon in Capricorn. That's interesting to look at. You can also see that right here. It's a full moon that's starting to get into it with Pluto. It's also foreshadowing the upcoming opposition from the Sun to Pluto, which you can see there, Mercury to Pluto, which you can see. So the full moon is giving us a picture of a ride from full moon down to the next new moon that is going to be pretty Plutonian. A lot of developments around the Cancerian stuff, home, family, things that have deep emotional basis, or that have history behind them, and transformation around things that we hold dear or close, or, you know, difficult, deeper, heavier movement and transformation coming up, with regard to things like home, family, living environment, ancestral karma. That's the foreshadowing of that full moon in Capricorn. On the same day, Mercury will be sextiling Uranus. You can see it in the sky similarly. So there's so many transits this month. That one is, you know, it's a nice pairing. Mercury Uranus in a sextile is usually kind of like that light bulb moment of understanding something, integrating something, getting the solution to a problem, coming up with a new idea, excitement and enthusiasm generally, kind of a nice burst of energy there that's both emotionally, I don't know, sensitive and practically helpful. So I like that one. July 14th, Venus in Gemini will square Neptune in Pisces. That's an interesting transit. I love Venus-Neptune transits for the most part. You know, so you always have to be careful with Venus-Neptune. Let me just advance this a day. So here's July 14th. You always have to be a little bit careful with Venus-Neptune about, you know, sort of intoxication. Let's call it romantic or imaginative intoxication, but thinking that something is realer than it is. You know, there's always the Neptunian beware. Everyone knows that. I feel like my friend, my dear astrology buddy, Sean, is such a defender of Neptune. And I really love that about him. He's always pointing out that, you know, Neptune is what helps us remember that life is inherently artistic, artful, imaginative, emotionally, you know, rich. So I think Venus Neptune here is nice. It feels playful with Venus in Gemini, kind of a romantic but playful energy. The room, the potential there of Venus in a Mercury ruled sign with Neptune for deception is maybe a little higher, because Mercury and Gemini can tend toward, you know, that changeability, shiftiness, and sometimes deception. So I'd watch out for that a little bit. That's about the middle of July. That's the 14th. July 16th, my birthday. Let's go here to Mercury Kazemi on my birthday this year. I am so stoked for that. I feel like that's a good omen for my solar return, maybe. Anyway, really nice. I think it's interesting that day, as Mercury is Kazemi on my birthday, I'll be seeing some family. It'll be the first time that I've had my birthday, been able to spend birthday with certain family members in a while. So I think that'll be fun. But that's just me. Mercury Kazemi at the heart of the Sun in Cancer. I look for fluid, beautiful, vulnerable, sensitive, sweet, familial forms of thought or communication to be streaming forth, or almost like heightened emotional intelligence as a nice byproduct of that transit. On the 17th, Mercury will then immediately trine Neptune. So it has both the Sun and both the Sun and Mercury will do that, because you can see on the 17th as well, Sun is also trining Neptune. So Mercury and the Sun will both go through trines to Neptune right around that time. And here you can see right there. When I think about that one, I really think, you know, there's this beautiful Sun Mercury fluid expression. It's sweet. It feels tender. It feels healing. It feels kind and maternal, romantic and a little lunar, nocturnal, poetic. And then it's, you know, it's being infused by that kind of otherworldliness of Neptune, which is also pretty cool. I like that transit a lot. There's a lot of trine sextiles this month that feel, you know, pretty fluid and nice. Venus is also entering Cancer on the 17th. I think that adds to sort of the mystique of the day. Venus also moving into a water sign, the sign of the moon, and so forth. On the 18th, then we start getting the Plutonian dimension. And this is happening because, first of all, Mercury is going to be opposing Pluto. And then if we take it forward just a little bit on the 19th, the very next day, then the Sun will oppose Pluto. So it goes, you know, from the 18th to the 19th, Mercury and the Sun both opposing Pluto. To me, whatever is in the air around family is really important this month, around home, family, women, children, all Cancerian things were the topic at the start of the new moon cycle with the new moon squared Jupiter and Aries. Now it's this very Plutonian moment. Remember, Mars squared Pluto at the beginning of the month too. So I feel like if there are things that need to be purged or addressed, if there's transformation to be had, then it's probably going to come, you know, sort of after that July 13th full moon in Capricorn down to the next new moon with some of these oppositions to Pluto. That's going to be some of the, you know, there's going to be some time spent talking about those transits on my channel, obviously. On July 19th, Mercury will enter Leo, kind of, you know, suddenly moves into the sign of the Sun, gets maybe a little bit more proud and bold and lion-like in the way that things are being communicated, or even just the way we're thinking, sort of the mental atmosphere. And then you go forward a little bit, the Sun will enter Leo on the 22nd. There we go. Oh, we'll just move it one more day forward. You can see it. There's the 22nd. And then on the 23rd, and then of course the Sun's picking up dignity. On the 23rd, Mercury in Leo will trine Jupiter in Aries. So you can see this is kind of like that lion-mindedness is now getting a big boost from like Jupiter in Aries. So I think this could be almost like arrogance or mental, you know, conceitedness or something like starting to rise up a little bit. Like I'd be a little cautious of that, especially since Mercury's also heading into a square with Mars and Uranus, and the Sun is too. So there's an energy that starts coming in after those oppositions to Pluto toward the very end of the lunar cycle in late July that start to get just willful and more intense and proud, and ego and pride are sort of like on the line. So I'd start watching for that because you know, by the very beginning of August, you're going to see Mars and Uranus come together. The Sun squares Mars and Uranus as the month goes on. So it's just like, there's a lot of pop coming through the very end of July that we'll be talking about as well. July 25th, Venus in Cancer squares Jupiter in Aries. And we have that repeated theme of the feminine and probably things related to Jupiter trying to overwhelm or dominate Venus. I think that's problematic given just everything that's going on in terms of some of the divisiveness around topics or very Cancerian topics. You can see that here. Oh, big, it came in again. Every now and then the big arrow comes in. Maybe that was like an accidental omen. Like, yeah, that's going to be a big one. Anyway, July 27th, Jupiter stations. You're going to see Jupiter turning retrograde by the 28th. And right around that time, Jupiter retrogrades in Aries, going to head back to Pisces by later in the fall. Then you get on the 28th, you get the new moon in Leo. So let's go back here just one day. You can see here's the new moon. This new moon is fueled by Uranian tension. Mercury is square to Uranus. And you know, that's a big deal because Mars is heading toward Uranus, Mercury is squaring Uranus. This new moon is showing us that late July through late August is really Uranian. And there's a, there's more tension. July's energy starts off pretty intensely with Mars, Pluto, but then as the month goes on, there's a lot of soft, bright, kind of beautiful, fun energy. Then on the backside of that moon cycle, from full moon down to the next new moon here on the 28th, there's a lot of Plutonian energy. You turn the corner, you start getting into Mars and Uranus energy. So, you know, and these planets will also oppose Saturn and so forth. Like by the 31st of the month, Mercury in Leo is already opposing Saturn in Aquarius. You can see that right here. So, you know, like backside of that, back half of the moon cycle into August is more intense, much more intense. There are some things that make me feel like, you know, a pride could somehow be a part. Pride and will, the need to be right or to be the king or something like that. You know, sort of the solar themes starting to get amplified. And maybe that gives us, that empowers us or gives us some courage or a sense of clarity and purpose and clear direction and the need to act on it. But with Mars Uranus there's some erratic, willful, intense, conflicting energy, argumentation, ideological disputes, pride and ego on the line. The sun is getting pumped up by Jupiter, which is kind of nice. You can see this on July 31st, the sun and Jupiter are trine. I like that. But given that Mercury's just separating from the opposition to Saturn, Mars, Uranus are coming through. I think, you know, at best we could see like making a bold decision based on an upsurge of confidence. That's kind of one way I would describe it. At the worst, I think we could see ourselves, you know, letting our egos make really reactive decisions and getting into hot-headed disputes. So those are some very simple generalizations. As you guys know, the purpose of doing this is to give you a sense of where we're going. And then as the month goes on, we'll take it transit by transit. We can't cover every single transit. There's a boatload this month. But we will try to hit some of the highlights as we go. And the good news is there's a lot of good content to be made this month and transits to follow. Like I said, I think I'll do horoscopes tomorrow. I feel like maybe Mars Pluto is more important. But it's really hard to, I'm going to sit on it tonight. I'm going to my Quaker meeting this evening where we sit in silence for an hour and we'll see if any direction or sense of the best content to make for tomorrow starts to appear. Anyway, that's what I've got for now. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Leave your comments in the comments section. If you subscribe, click on the notification bell for updates. You can always find a transcript of my daily talks on my website, nightlightastrology.com. You can also learn more about my readings and courses. Any questions at all, email info@nightlightastrology.com. That's what I've got for today. Hope you guys are doing well. Bye.